We really don't care if we get a lump of coal in our stocking for Christmas, as long as it's hard and hot. Today, we have the hilarious comedy duo Devin Green and Joel Bryant. They certainly bring enough holiday cheer to light up the Yule log in your fireplace and keep the eggnog nice and frothy.
Listen as we go caroling with Devin and Joel and unwrap the seldomly known extra verse to Jose Feliciano's Feliz Navidad.
What is the true meaning of Glitter Day?
What your Christmas tree says about you.
And Krampus, Germany's satanic Santa.
Plus all the hot news. WikiLeaks reveals your tax dollars hard at work paying for military contractors in Afghanistan to hire cross-dressing child prostitutes.
Celine Dion can't stop showing off the twins.
Oxygen is turning Glee into American Idol with even more annoying cover songs.
And lesbian rumors! A personal message from me to Oprah. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Today's show is brought to you by fabulous people just like you. And by Steamworks, Gym, Sauna, and Baths.
Steamworks, Gym, Sauna, and Baths.
Release the pressure!
Saca la presión.
Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, Seattle, Washington, and now Vancouver, British Columbia.
When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register for a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fun in the promo code field to get the special discount. And remember, play hard,
play smart.
You know what I want for Christmas, Fausto?
What, Mark?
A podcast award.
Me too. How do we go about asking Santa for it?
Well, I don't know if Santa can deliver it, but certainly the listeners of this podcast can by going to podcastawards.com and voting for Feast of Fun for People's Choice and for Best GLBT Podcast.
Remember, you can do it once a day until December 15th. So as they do in Chicago, vote early, vote often.
And don't forget the weekends. You can vote on the weekends.
Oh, hey, everybody.
Hey, Devin. It's
Hello,
me, Fausto.
Hi, Joel.
Joel's there, too.
It's Mark and Fausto. It's the Feast of Fun. We didn't interrupt you guys while you guys were voting for the podcast awards, did we?
Oh, I like the sound effects coming from both sides of the phone.
How'd you guys do that?
Well, let me think about this.
Light bulb moment.
Wow, that step, was a long one. Sorry.
Step away from the garage band.
Okay, hey.
We've been studying the guy from Police Academy thoroughly.
That came from my throat.
Usually things go in there.
Ooh. You know, I watched that guy from Police Academy, and it's funny that he's known as that, but it's like, he was also in Spaceballs and a bunch of other movies at the time, and he did the exact same thing.
That's a good gimmick.
What's his name?
He did it on stage, he was a stand-up and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's his thing. Do you remember the guy from Sesame Street? He used to make voices, the little Muppet.
Which one?
I don't know. He would say, like, oh, I'm looking for a ring, ring, ring. He'd open his mouth and a voice and a random sound effect would come
out. Oh, I love that character. Yes.
Was that him, too?
No, they put real sound effects in there. But that has nothing to do with anything else.
I'm a one-trick donkey.
In Tijuana.
I'm having some problems with my WikiLeaks, but I kept taking more fiber, but I was still having problems with that.
Maybe you should let your leak scab over.
Happy holidays, guys.
Yes, happy day of Hanukkah is today.
Can I tell you, yes. Each and every day in December right now is like an advent calendar for voting for Best GLBT and People's Choice on the Podcast Awards. I can't go a day without voting because my day would be incomplete.
Go wow. on, my dear. Go oh. on.
Yeah, she just made up that said I voted, and she puts them on every day.
I love that analogy there of the advent calendar. I think next year if we run, we're going to have to actually produce an advent calendar. You get a little prize every day you vote.
You know, some websites are actually doing that. They're doing digital advent calendars. Mm-hmm. They're low in calories, too.
Mm-hmm. That's no good. You need the chocolate.
You know what Mark used to do as a kid, and I don't even know if this is true or not, but I know he probably did this. He's the kind of kid that would just open all the days at once. Sacrilege.
Have a lot in common.
It's true.
We were too poor to have advent calendars.
So that
was really mean.
How about this one? In Puerto Rico, they didn't sell them because it was too hot and the chocolate would melt.
Oh.
Well, that's really interesting. You know, we were looking up... Austrian and the people of Holland, how they celebrate, you know, Saint Nicholas comes and he's dressed in bishop robes and he journeys in a boat with Black Peter and mm-hmm. children wear Spanish clothes. That's their Christmas.
We have free time.
So they wear Spanish clothes in Austria?
Yes. It's.
What are you talking about, free time?
I think she combined her sentences.
What is free time?
You gotta put a grammar, you gotta put a punctuation in there, Devin, otherwise...
No.
Like Austrians are dressing like Spaniards.
I got to tell you, Devin, I think that Black Peter is like one of the greatest things that we Americans have lost about Christmas, because they also have him in Germany where he's Krampus, and he's
Krampus.
Like this Krampus, where he's like this goat figure. And if you're a bad child, not only will Santa not give you any presents, the Krampus will put you in a sack and carry you away.
Listen, once you go Black Peter, you never go back.
I know a guy named Black Peter. Great performer.
He'll take you to Afghanistan and make you dance for the military contractors.
Hey, I grew up Austrian, so I know all that Krampus stuff. We used to get chased as a kid.
Oh, really? By who?
By my cousin. He was like 10, 12 years older, and he had a big Krampus mask.
Uh-huh.
And he would chase you around and scare the crap out of you all night long.
It's scary.
It's ridiculously scary, especially when you're a kid. That was real. Austrians are really basing Christmas around fear.
Mm-hmm. I'm having WikiLeaks in my pants just thinking about it right now.
When I lived in southern Germany, I got out of work one night, and it was at nighttime, and there was like all these bonfires around town. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Because I had never really heard of it before. Because, you know, as Americans, Christmas is nice, and if you're a naughty kid, maybe you'll get coal. But otherwise, you have free reign to do anything. But there's all these people in these crazy masks dancing around and drinking. I was like, fantastic. Party for the adults.
It's a very evil holiday. When I was in college, I did a thesis paper on the similarities between Santa and Satan. So I had to research all the evil origins of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a pretty evil holiday.
And it all came back to what?
Well, the Inuits, because they observe a festival called the Siptak, and they put lighted candles in the hollowed out innards of turnips.
It's like you're reading my thesis paper.
That's Halloween. That's Halloween, Devin. You're
you know
confused.
What it is that the Native Americans mm-hmm. also celebrate their version of Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they sit inside a deep kiva, or hole in the ground, and they inhale the fumes from peyote mushrooms as they dance around the fire and tell their stories of their ancestors, or Kachina dolls, and they act out the rituals that bring the maize and corn and
and they hope
things.
To hell that their dream catcher works at night.
Those dreams
Tuesday
get
night in Navajo land, really. That could be any night.
But we're throwing Christmas aside this year, and we're going for Glitter Day.
So you know, yes, Glitter Day is the second Saturday of January, and we want everybody around the world to celebrate. And the
All
way
right,
you
Gary.
Need. Is just find a menorah.
Something shiny.
Ask your Jewish non-religious Jewish friends, which is most of them, and ask them if you can borrow a menorah from them and spray it with glitter so it's really shiny. Add tons of fucking sequins on it, and then you find a candle, a red one, an orange one, a yellow one, a green one, a blue and or indigo, and a purple and or lavender one. And if you want to throw a pink one in there for good luck, why not? And you light those up, and every day you light a candle, you suck somebody's dick.
Wow.
Or do
oh
whatever.
God, that's exactly how I make my pork pie.
But we want like a non-religious winter holiday.
Yes.
So
to have
something
fun.
That's fun and sexy, and you don't have to worry about politics. You don't have to worry about religion. You can just enjoy the sparkle and the glimmer of the ray of hope that is this summer solstice.
And New Year's Eve is too much of a money grab for restaurants and nightclubs.
Yes.
So we want glitter and what?
It's amateur night.
It's amateur night. We want the professionals to celebrate glitter day.
That's right. I'd suck a cock and blow out a candle. Or light a candle. And blow out a cock. Or
Mark just did a spit take here.
I could just blow a long horn over a water well so it would sound extremely loud.
I think that sounds romantic, actually.
I want to light a candle every time I get a blowjob. That'd be great.
Devin, what is the true meaning of Glitter Day?
Well, I don't think everybody's given enough opportunity to sparkle. So it's to bring out possibly your inner glow, and if that means insertion or penetration in any way, to push it out of you, then I say so be it. Because, you know, sometimes when your hand is up into something, you go, oh my God, I've lost my hand. At the end of my arm is a man.
How many times have Jim Henson said that?
I've grown a man.
The true meaning of Glitter Day is to fearlessly be yourself. Mm. Because, honey, God didn't make no shit.
And if he did, you paint it gold.
With enough glitter paint, you know, everything looks fabulous. You can cover, they always say it's like if you take shit and you cover it in gold, it's still gold covered shit.
Mm-hmm. Right, but it still looks good.
It looks better, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's like if you chug Goldschlager and take a crap a day later.
Oi.
Have you actually done that? There actually was an artist that sold gold leaf and pills, and you could take it, swallow them and take golden shits.
That's awesome.
I know, I want one for Christmas. Anybody want to send me one?
Until it kerplunks in the bowl and breaks the linoleum.
Devin, you're famous. You and Joel are famous enough to have, you know, what we call in the industry.
Shit.
Well, fans that would follow you into a bathroom and steal your poop and sell it on celebrity shits.com.
That is not too far from the truth.
Devin's like, I don't get up from that toilet until I'm sure it's flushed down.
That's why Devin stopped pooping years ago.
I actually don't have solid bowel movement.
Right.
You can buy, I'm not sure what the website is, but the last time I looked, you could buy Robin Williams' feces.
Really?
It's awesome.
Oh my God, and from what I know of him, he's got a foul colon.
full of coke and broken careers.
You know, you could just poop. You could just poop into like a test tube or something and send it to somebody and say, I bought this on celebritypoops.com. It's for you. It's Lady Gaga's feces.
Wow.
I wonder if you could pull it off.
If you could just do any kind of poop and just sell it, mass sell poop?
Say it's celebrity poop.
I think there's a market there.
How about a little toy, like a little Barbie doll, and every time she lifts her leg, she laughs and a little gumdrop falls out. Oh, that would look like a baby, though.
It was a melted gumdrop.
Hey, here's my zygote.
A zygote is what, an ovum, an egg?
It's when a sperm and an egg come together to create the miracle of life.
Oh. You know what? I know for a fact that is correct.
Someone found a sound effect machine.
Is it an actual machine you're playing with?
Yeah, it is. There's, oh my God, what's wrong? Okay, that's it. I'm putting it down.
Let's say, hey kids, it's Glitter Day.
Hurry, Devin.
Okay, do it again.
Hey kids, it's Glitter Day. Woo! Let's get drunk and suck a lot of dick.
And then collect everyone's scatological remnants.
And sell it for fun and profit.
Wow, we've really made Christmas into a whole new thing.
Most high-minded conversation I've ever had.
There's people at work like turning down the dial going, oh,
my God, what is this?
Add some balance to this conversation. I think there's a moment here for repose.
Mm-hmm.
The two of you have had a very glorious year. I have to say that you're the, you know that I call myself a feastie, right?
Is there a pill for that?
A feasty beastie.
Feasty beastie.
Which means you like the show.
Yes.
I always love it when people that come on the show actually listen to the show. That's it touches me in a deep place.
In a place only my vibrator can reach.
Wait till glitter day.
you don't want to blow your glitter wad before then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I don't
go
know.
Go on with the gushing.
Yeah, keep telling me compliments.
Than possible. But you two have had a really glorious, I'm going to say an absolutely stellar year, and this stuff doesn't magically happen. You don't have microphones appear. You set this stuff up. You get those guests in. You ejaculate your comedy all over their face, and they suck it up.
Hey, watch it, Devin. This is a family-friendly show, yeah. You know.
It's the Bukkake cast.
This is not the. We're not in Afghanistan with military contractors hanging
although
out.
I'm wearing a burqa for no reason.
I'm dressed as a pretty little boy lady. Would you like to see my dance? Ding 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 ding. Okay. Anyways, we'll talk about that later. Besides your appearances on the show, which are a highlight for me personally.
Oh, blessings.
What was the highlight of the programming year for you guys?
You know, don't get me wrong. I love listening each and every year. But this year, you guys have, like, since 1998, if I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Oh, how long have we been doing?
The live show from 1998.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were, like, had a lot of vim and vigor.
You know what it is? We're not putting up with bullshit as much as we used to.
Yeah, you're certainly empowered, and you guys are... I don't know. This year, I just felt like you gave, like, the full fist to the guest.
Not just a couple of fingers.
Not just a knuckle.
All the way to the wrist.
You know, I feel like we found our voice. Like
you
Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm. You did. Just a nice mm-hmm. little edge, but nothing too...
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing and just too... enough spice to call it Mexican, but not too much to make you never want to go into the restaurant again.
It's like Tex-Mex.
Yeah, with a little sour cream.
Yeah, it's like the hot packet at Taco Bell of the salsa. It's not really salsa, but it still has a little bit of a tang.
And you just want to smear it on your lips before you dig into the burrito.
You know, I will say this, that this year, more than any other year, I can qualify it with that. I really enjoyed the episodes with just the two of you together as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
We're those just equally as much as the guests.
Well, we've been trying to do those a little more often because, number one, it's easier on our production schedule to do it. And then it's also, too, it's like, well, should I have this? And I've been telling people no more this year about coming on the show. I'm just like, should I have somebody that's like half-assed or should we just do it ourselves? And we say, let's just do it ourselves.
Yeah.
So if I don't really believe in the guest, I don't have them on.
Oh,
so I believe in you guys.
Well,
thank you for believing in us.
You know
okay,
what?
This. Thanks for coming on the show.
Joel, I think that was our hint to pack up our dishes and exit.
Well, you actually put together.
But you guys know what I mean. It's
you put
like,
together.
Yeah.
You went and worked really hard and put together a special sing along song for us and the listeners.
Yes.
For this year.
Yeah, I did. I wanted to go back to your Port of Spanish roots.
Oh, Puerto mm-hmm. Rico, as they say. Rich port in English.
Oh, rich ports.
Yes.
I thought...
I learned something here today.
Because, look, when I listen, I either have it... I'm walking or on the... I'm driving or I'm thinking or I'm laying down or I'm on the airport...
You're
you know,
in places.
I'm really with you guys most of the day, quite honestly. So if any listeners are in the car, you can sing along in the car. We're going to do this a couple of times, and I think you all know the words, too. Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
Are we supposed to sing along now?
Feliz Navidad.
Whenever you like.
Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Prospero año y felicidad.
I want to wish
you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Again, yes?
I want Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Yipa.
Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
Very nice.
Feliz Navidad.
La migra.
Feliz Navidad.
Dos tacos, por favor.
Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Whoa, 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 yeah. You know there's a third verse.
There's a third verse?
Yeah, you wanna hear it?
What is it?
This is actually edited out of the radio song, but okay. Jose Feliciano likes to play it in his concerts.
Okay. Do you want me to keep?
It's cynical.
Keep playing and you sing it, okay?
Yes. It's just go to. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
I want to give you lots of money and lots of presents to make you happy. I want to give you lots of money from the bottom of my heart.
Why does he cut that out?
Because people think it's materialistic.
Isn't that what Christmas is all about?
It's about the money, honey. Put some loot in the boot, Santa.
He wants to give you a bunch of money?
Yeah.
It's about money, honey.
Wow.
We got to pay the bills, right down baby. To it. It's about the coins.
True.
Bring
that.
Me a 5-pound box of money, Santa.
Hanukkah's 8 days long.
Yeah, but do they get good gifts, though?
No, they get like mechanical pencils and coupons for hugs and stuff.
I don't want no coupons. I want some money.
How much is this redeemable for?
Gift certificates.
1/50th of a cent. What?
Well, fuck you and your gift certificate for a fucking hug. I get that hug all the time anyways.
Give this Jew boy a shekel.
So you have another song for us, too?
Oh, hey, if you guys want to have a little sing-along.
I want to have a sing-along.
I want to sing, baby.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
I'm Mariah Carey in here.
Sing along the first verse with me, and then the second one, you cats are on your own. I know that you know this one.
I have no idea what the song is.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you. You guys now, ready? Here we go.
Okay.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There's just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wishes come true. All I want for Christmas is you.
Yeah. Five is the fun. That's what I want, truly, for Christmas in my sack.
I felt like Mariah Carey was here in the room with us.
Speaking of glitter,
she really was.
Glitter
she
Day really is 100% Mariah Carey free. Sorry, Mariah.
Yes. What if you had a birthday on Glitter Day? Like you turned 40 and they lit 40 candles. So there'd be like, oh my God, what a
It's even better. Well, the great thing about Glitter Day is so it's always the second Saturday of January, so it's not going to fall on Little Christmas. So the earliest it'll ever be is the 8th. And it will all the latest it'll be the 14th, so it won't stomp on Martin Luther King's birthday. Not the observed, but
we
the
calculated. There's science and thought
right.
behind this.
We figure there's the black hole of holidays in that little part of January.
Oh, you,
and we
you
filled
know what?
It.
You've just made Glitter Day a Capricorn.
What does that mean?
That's what when people are born in that time
I know, but
zone.
Like, what is the aspect of a Capricorn?
Hey, you know what?
Mercurial,
what I
right?
believe, that you can't put all 6 billion of us into 12 different slots.
No.
That's what I believe.
Just one slot is sometimes all you need.
Oh, we don't have swingers parties.
Although some people do have a slot large enough.
Capricorn's self-sufficiency is often mistook for coldness, as they are not as cold as they may seem. This may be apparent because Capricorns like to do the things that no one else wants to do.
Fill all those slots.
I think it's because of their horn on their nose.
They're the strong friend and the personality that is geared towards leadership and achievement, just like Glitter Day, will dominate all the holidays.
Speaking of Mariah Carey, though, you guys have got to, as soon as you're done with this podcast, you have to go to Love B. Scott's YouTube video channel and watch he lip syncs to one of Mariah Carey's songs from her new Christmas album, like her Christmas album number 2. It is over the top crazy. He's full on, like, drag-ish, you know, complete with, like, fashion fans blowing his weave, and then he's got, like, this hot muscle guy, and he's toasting champagne while he's baking love muffins in the oven. It is, you're, like, watching it, you're going, oh, my God.
It's over the top, and the thing I like most about it is the product placement.
Yes.
So he has he's, like, pushing some champagne. I've never heard of it. It has a letter M on it.
Yes.
And he's just like, in case you were wondering who paid for this video.
And the other part to it, it's like to be continued.
So it's part 2. Oh, it ends up, should we ruin the ending for the video? Okay, it has a twist ending.
It has a very gay romantic
It's like
ending.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Mm-hmm. But watchable. Is it supposed to be funny, or is it supposed to be campy? Or is it
I don't know.
It's supposed to have some camp. It's supposed to definitely be campy, but it's very stylized and glamorous, too. So it's kind of like, it's fun.
It's really, you know, because we're friends with him, And it's like, you know, I love B. Scott, and he's a lovely guy. And seeing this video, I don't want to talk about it with him too much because I'm nervous that I'm going to say the wrong thing.
And he's going to be like, no, that's supposed to be serious. But it's not supposed to be serious.
You know what?
It's cute.
Well, see, don't say that.
Hold on a second.
If it's meant to be tongue-in-cheek or not.
Oh, come on. He's making actually love muffins in the oven.
But you know, that's his brand, baby.
The thing that also worries me, though, is like if you go in the kitchen, he's cooking in front of this oven, and behind it is this row of knives. It's like 15 knives. So it's like you can't really say anything bad about B. Scott because he'll cut you with one knife.
Well, I like it because his style of cooking is kind of like Devin's.
Oh.
Yes, it's sort of a devil may care and shove it in your pie hole.
Like he drops an egg on the floor. He probably just picked it up and threw it right back in there.
Oh my God, who doesn't? Are you serious?
No, he drops one on the floor, but he doesn't pick it up that we see. I'm sure he cleaned it up. Joel, let me ask you. Yes. You guys, what was the reality TV show your wife was on? Oh, you both were on?
Inedible to incredible.
Inedible to incredible. How much has her cooking actually improved?
It is a big, fat 180.
Really?
It's good. It's edible.
What has she made for you recently that you've actually been able to eat?
Oh, I can. Can I give you a clue?
Yeah.
Parsley.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Cooking with parsley now. What's next? Salt and pepper?
And that's like an herb. It's like a vegetable.
It's green.
Uh-huh.
It's green.
It's for the holidays.
Mm-hmm. She made an angel hair pasta with a
feta cheese.
Chicken breast. And a parsley garlic aioli sauce.
Oh.
You guys, she made probably like 2 bags of angel hair pasta, and we sat and ate the whole damn thing. It was so good.
That's a lot of pasta.
It was a lot of pasta. There was a lot of carbs going in, but it was fantastic.
Parsley's fantastic
for you.
You know
what I made for dessert?
What?
Gingerbread, and I took a hammer and I crushed up a bunch of peppermint candy canes, and I put them in design, and then I put peppermint flavoring in icing. So imagine gingerbread with red and white crumbles in it, which was candy cane, plus green icing, which was peppermints.
Wow.
Did
you actually make the gingerbread, or was that from like a package?
A lady doesn't like to push back too far to reveal her vulva.
Do you think Devin could make gingerbread? She'd put ginger inside of bread. Here you go. But it's good, you guys. It's good. We should send you some cookies or something.
Okay.
Mark's been making...
I hope your fruit flies are gone from your kapachi.
Kombucha.
Kombucha.
You know what? I saw a couple
How
more
How do you know
around.
That there was fruit flies in our kombucha?
Because when Teriyaki was on the show, she was trying to attack them.
Oh.
Yeah. So, there's fruit flies. They come in on the grapes, I think, is what they do.
They come in from Mexico.
Mm-hmm. And so...
They're Mexican fruit flies.
Considering it's only like 20 degrees outside, there's no chance of them really proliferating too greatly and harming
but those
anything.
Fruit flies, they'll get on your dogs and cats and turn into fleas.
Nature doesn't work like that, Devin, but you
yes,
know.
They're looking for a host.
It's, you know, I really feel like having fermented foods in the holidays, especially in the winter months when you're not getting a lot of sunshine and, you know, not all your produce is as fresh as it could be. It really helps your vitality, your health.
Because we're all looking for some vitality.
You
wait,
know,
if you eat fermented food, it helps your vitality?
I think so, because it's rich in and nutrients and B-complex vitamins. And
well, the other thing with the fermented thing is that these types of organisms live in like a symbiotic relationship with us. And so, you know, when we're here in the winter, like our world just kind of becomes a little more sterile. And so it helps us connect with nature.
I think
so. We had winter here once.
In Southern California?
For a day. Yeah, it rained a little bit.
What is Christmas like in Los Angeles?
It's weird. It's not quite. Well, you can't say Christmas. You have to say Happy Holidays to everybody because you don't want to offend anybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I don't give a shit. You know what? For me, it's Christmas. If I know that my friend is Jewish, I'll say Happy Hanukkah.
you guys have a lot of friends who are Scientologists. What do you say to them?
Just season's greetings. I hope you have a great time with your cult.
Happy Zebu.
That volcano doesn't explode all over
you. Do Scientologists celebrate like any kind of winter holiday or Glitter Day, perhaps? Mm,
well, you know they'll be celebrating Glitter Day.
Well, I think that they take their Satans and... I don't... You know...
They worship Satans. Tom Cruise.
No, you know what? It's Christmas... I don't know. Is there such an outrage?
Mm.
You know, it's, for God's sake, it's on a calendar. It says Christmas Day.
And let's be honest, no one really celebrates Jesus' birthday anymore. It's not like people are buying him gifts or anything. It's just a day.
Nice. I picked up, for some reason, telling people Happy Christmas instead of Merry Christmas.
That's a British thing to
do. I know.
Do.
I don't know why.
I was just going to say, we'll say that in Canada as well.
I just started coming out of my mouth, Happy Christmas, because there's something about saying Merry Christmas that just sounds insincere. I don't know.
You know, let's talk about gift giving, because it's like, I think the best gifts are, you know, especially something that Devin made in the oven.
Cheese?
Like, what we're sending to people, and, you know, if you guys want to give us your mailing address, we'll actually, your P.O. box.
Mm. Are you kidding me? I'm going to stop you right there. You gave us one of the greatest gifts this year. Not only did you show up at Green Bay Pride, we got a Feast of Fun t-shirt. We wear it all the time. I love the t-shirt. We love wearing it. I'm actually wearing mine right now, and I'm touching my ribs.
Well, Mark's been making a caramel popcorn. And he's kind of going through the Devon School of cooking. He can't leave it alone, and just he has to throw in things into it.
I put ginger into it. Isn't that a fantastic idea?
I love it.
A little
bit of sea salt and some couscous.
No couscous. Although that might be all right.
Mark already was like, hey, you could mix this with cookie batter and make caramel-covered popcorn cookies. And I was like, that sounds wrong.
Yeah, but once you put popcorn, caramel, and cookies all in the same dish, it's going to be good.
And then dip them in chocolate, and then put a little candy canes crushed on top.
Mm-hmm. Well, the funny thing is somebody was over yesterday, and Fausto's turn to make the batch, so he's got it cooking. And I said, now this is going to be the hardest part for you, Fausto, because right now you have to turn it down to medium, and then you have to leave it alone for 4 minutes and not touch it. Do you think Fausto was able to not touch it for 4 minutes? No.
Well, I just wanted to look at it.
He had to stir it.
Well, I understand that, because I can't not touch Fausto for 4 minutes when I see it.
Oh, darling. You're so sweet.
I hope you come to L.A. this new year. I hope you have big dreams and wishes.
I do. I have lots of big dreams and wishes. But I'm a little scared to talk about them.
Can Joel and I do a little something?
I'd love to.
In particular, your show in particular really has the most, like, fierce, positive people who listen to it.
It's true.
It's not just, like, a negative piss pot, you know? Like, I really laugh all the time. So any listener that, I don't know, that on your website writes a glad cheer tiding underneath this particular podcast, I'm going to put all the names in a basket, pull one out, and email a T-shirt.
Wow.
That's so nice.
Which one t-shirt are you going to send
them? The Vagine one?
I probably have a huge Vagine.
Well, we know you do, but what t-shirt are you going to get?
Zing.
I like how she didn't know. I probably have a huge Vagine.
I may have.
Compared to a lot of people.
I don't know. I don't take a mirror down there.
I mean, do women's vaginas vary in size? Because I'm pretty ignorant when it comes to that. Do their vaginas actually vary in size that much?
Well,
some have teeth.
I think some that have a lot of usage. It's sort of maybe like your
stretched out.
Like your sheriff's badge can expand if exercised regularly.
My sheriff's badge
your
can expand.
Your sheriff's badge. Your dirty sheriff's badge.
There's a horrible video online right now, and it's like says, do not watch this video, not safe for work. And it's this girl, and she looks real country, and she's singing this song, your girl's a cheerleader, and I'm a da 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 da. You've heard it all over the radio. And then all of a sudden, they cut away, and she goes down to her vagine, and she rips it open, and behind it is another mouth singing. It's so gross, and it happens so fast, you don't even know it's coming.
I love it. I want to watch it.
Should we give a big shout out to Scott James Venedestine and partner Andrew, who organized Green Bay Pride and who are huge, huge fans of yours and came down to Chicago to our Haunted Halstead event and were the cutest things. You could just want to wrap your arms around them and give them big kisses.
What was also fantastic, too, is they saw our video of us making tostones in drag, and so they made their own tostones. Although I have a feeling they didn't eat much of it because they're in such good shape.
They have amazing bodies.
Will make you...
So many fun people this year. David and Brent and Derek and his partner and the Green Bay. I got to tell you, Wisconsin people, they just know how to have super fun time. So, again... If you listen to this podcast, you're on Feast of Fun, and you write a positive, witty, just like even an exclamation mark will do. Joel and I will put your name in a big barrel, pick one out, and send you a special treat surprise.
That's fantastic.
We'll
you
send
guys
you
are
a
great.
Barrel full of names.
I'm going to do it, too.
You know what? Shout out to Kirthy. Shout out to Kirthy Fix also, who said Devin should have her own Comedy Central show.
She should. Absolutely.
She should. She's connected. Mm-hmm. So you could get Kirthy Fix just did a documentary on Stephen Merritt and the magnetic fields, and she's working on another one about La Tigra.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like both of them.
And Strange Powers is touring around the country right now and showing in a lot of film festivals. So you can follow it on Facebook and check it out. So lots of kisses to her.
A little story, because I believe last year the story was The Night Before Christmas.
Ah, that was a classic.
It was a classic. And this year, the story, every time we have a pause, either Mark or Fausto, will add in a word and help create our story. This story, the year is called, the story is called Christmas Without a...
Without a ping pong table.
Without a ping pong table.
Yes, that old classic.
Yes, the vaginas had to just shoot the ping pong balls out with no sport involved this time. Do you know people can do that with their bottoms as well?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing it right now.
And then I saw a video with someone having a pool cue, a snooker ball up there.
The whole ball? Or the cue?
Joel Bryant, listen to me right now.
The stick of the ball. There's a difference.
Two balls. He had two snooker balls up there. An eight ball.
Yeah.
My God.
That's impressive. There's one where someone had a football up there.
No.
For real. For
I've seen wine bottles, but a football?
Oh, wine in a box. Now, there's a trick.
Oh, shoot. Hey, you guys, am I allowed to redact everything and go back to the documentary for a second? Did you guys see Marwan Call yet?
I have not seen the documentary. You showed me the link to the video, and I think it looks fantastic.
Whenever you get a chance, make sure you go and see it. It's absolutely devastating, and there's two huge twists. Just even, it's M-A-R, MARWENCOL for Mark, Wendy, Colleen. Mm-hmm. And just have a look on the website. I won't go into it, but the trailer I probably watched about 10 times.
And this is about a guy who suffers a disability, and then he creates a whole world out of, like, dolls.
He lives in that world, mm-hmm. but he's so charming. But there's some huge, huge spoilers that you just sit there and go, like, you actually touch your heart.
It's kind of like the, like a real-life The Beaver that's been directed by
Jodie Foster.
Oh. Just describing that, just saying that is a joke. Jodie Foster directed The Beaver.
Oh, you're right, with Mel Gibson.
That's right. It's a wonderful a documentary about Mel Gibson's life. And how he loses his sanity, starts talking with a puppet.
And how his teeth grow.
Prescription puppet.
You know that beavers actually eat wood?
No, they hone it down. I was just actually at the Pacific Design Center yesterday, and there was a beaver dam that was made into a table. You have to understand that beavers' teeth will continue to grow, and so they have to chew, mm-hmm. chomp on wood.
Well, they eat wood. They eat, like, the young wood saplings, the bark.
Maybe the younger ones, but I think that's what woodchucks are for.
I don't think woodchucks chuck wood?
They eat wood.
They chuck it, they chew it, they eat it.
A groundhog, and I'm born on Groundhog's Day, so I think that they eat roots and things like that.
Yeah, they're almost like herbivores. But just remember, it's like a rodent, so it's a scavenger.
My dog killed a groundhog once, and then my father buried it. But then my dad, yeah, my dog killed one, and then my dog, my dad buried it, and then the dog kept digging it back up. So my dad thought, well, brilliant idea, I'll just burn it in the fire pit in the backyard. So all the kids from the neighborhood all came over, and my dad was burning this thing, and we're like, wow, look at it burn. And then it got like to that critical point where it just exploded. So there was groundhog guts flying everywhere. Kids screaming. And it was just like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. And it made like a poof sound. It was weird.
Oh my God, that sounds like when I went to the Korean for a pap smear.
Oh, that's a good story.
Ooh.
Should we talk about the news? I really want to get...
Yes. I thought we were playing a game.
Oh, I'm sorry. I are we done with the game or are we still doing it?
No. Joel, start out the story, please.
Okay. So it's a ping pong table, right?
It's a ping pong... The Christmas ping pong table.
Yes, the Christmas ping pong table. Joel?
The snow was falling on Christmas morning. Little Billy woke up from his...
nap.
Yeah, seems logical, Joel.
Yeah. And Matt said, Billy, what are you getting up so early for?
What?
You keep going.
I didn't hear that.
And so he was like, what? Girl, I need a ping pong table. So he rushed downstairs. He looked under the tree, but his sister was down there the night before, and she had taken Santa into a...
Malibu Barbie house.
Malibu Barbie house, where they went up and down the escalator, elevator, inclinator, if you know what I mean. Santa was very nimble. Santa was very quick. Santa was very flexible. Unfortunately, he was too quick for Billy's sister. So she said, get the F out of here, and gave him the finger. So she went back downstairs. There was Billy underneath the Christmas tree. The lights were blinking off and on. The ping pong table was nowhere to be seen, so they yelled out,
Kalu-kalay.
Kalu-kalay. Kalu-kalay. Kalu-ka. They were Austrians.
How dare you.
How dare you. And then, Joel.
Yes. Sorry, you're making me laugh, Devin. I can still laugh. Oh, and then they were also, they had to go find the missing ping pong table, because God forbid they don't start off Christmas morning without a ping pong tournament. They jumped in there.
And they were working on their RuPaul's Drag Race audition video.
Which derailed them for the next 24 days. They put their makeup on, but they didn't have any eyelashes, so obviously they used some
rat's tails.
They responded.
They used ground up Lady Gaga CD covers.
Because Lady Gaga was now only mind melding with her with her little monsters. She didn't need CDs, she didn't need MP3s, she didn't need videos anymore. She had direct and utter control over all of them. She secretly got into RuPaul's drag race because she untucked her prehensile penis, which she named...
Cornell University's Department of Hospitality Administration.
She
so corny for short.
The, oh, I thought it was C-U-N-T for short. So she quickly put herself into RuPaul's Drag Race. Nobody even knew that she had a penis but was missing an Adam's apple. Billy and his sister could not compete with this, even though
Gobbles the Goat
portion consisted of a song.
A song about Gobbles the Goat eating cigarettes.
And bukkake.
The Gobbles the Goat, which was the goat from the Billy Goat Under the Bridge, who didn't let the trolls go over. Joel?
I got nowhere to go.
An overzealous burlesque dancer.
That could sing.
So there was Lady Gaga and Billy and his sister. They were competing, and RuPaul had a brand new saying. She saw the three of them standing in front of her. She put up her long ET-like finger and screamed out with full teeth.
Girl, I got one thing to say. You better help me hide this body, because I'm not going to jail again.
And Mark, I think we both know the moral of this lesson, and that would be...
Oral.
Yes. I don't...
If Gobbles the Goat wants to eat cigarettes, feed it cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Let there be peace on Earth and goodwill to all humanity.
And booty
men and
free.
Women and goats and drag queens.
And our transgendered friends and entities and non-human entities... Out there.
You know what? Do you believe that, like, doors and things like that have a spirit?
I've watched enough Disney animated films to really get a little suspicious about my teapot. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, please. I'm all over Tangled.
It's like, it is sort of weird. Have you ever, like, recently watched Beauty and the Beast?
Not recently.
Yes, tale as old as time.
That is, like, the most depressing ending. If you really think about it.
Why?
Because all these things are like, they're, you know, the beast gets to go back to being a human being, but all the clock and the teacup, they're still like slaves to him. And they're like, when they're turned back to humans, they're still basically seen as objects in their world. So they may have physically changed back to being human beings, but they're still treated as slaves.
Well, everything has its place, Fausto.
Tale as old as time, working
sure
in Afghanistan.
Well, Fausto, do you think that everyone should be a master?
Master of the house.
You know, that's always a fun song to sing to people when they're talking about having a relationship with somebody.
Or
they're just like, oh, we're just friends. And then you just start singing, tale as old as time. And then it just pisses them off. They're like,
barely
why?
Even friends. Then somebody bends. And then you throw your wrist down like a gay bend.
Oh my God.
Unexpectedly.
And they're like, what are you doing?
That was actually written by Howard Ashman, one of the great gay Broadway writers who died of HIV and AIDS.
I'm sorry.
Unexpectedly.
Did he totally die?
He's totally dead. Oh. Like, he died before any... he was responsible for Little Shop of Horrors and bringing national interest back into Broadway, because around that time it was like for old ladies, and he made Broadway hip and relevant for young people again. And now it's, you know, what it is. Mm. Oprah Winfrey...
Yes.
Lesbian rumors!
Look under your chair right now!
Those lesbian rumors for everybody!
My favorite things are under my vagina!
Her favorite thing of all time, she says, is an iPad with Oprah Winfrey's magazine in it.
Wow.
She said this is her thing. Now, this is Oprah and us have had an ongoing...
Yes.
Indirect conversation.
Yeah.
She'll say something about her lesbian rumors, then we say something, and then she responds to it. And so it's this public.
It's a karmic game we're playing with her.
We're playing with her. We've actually gone
cosmic.
On local radio, both on NPR and Chicago Now Radio of the WGN, talking about Oprah's lesbian rumors. So I have no doubt in my head that Oprah or somebody who works for her has forwarded this information. So Oprah, I'm going to speak to you directly. If you guys may indulge
me here.
Tell
what she's just said.
So Oprah
would you
just
like a drum roll.
So Oprah went on Barbara Walters. She's taping, you know, her most fascinated person of the year. She said that she spends a lot of time with her close friend Gayle King. But if Oprah says that she were gay, she wouldn't hide it, and that's why she finds the rumors so annoying and disturbing. The reason why it irritates me is because it means that somebody thinks I'm lying. That's number one. Number two, why would you want to hide it, my sexuality? That is not the way I run my life. Who is Gayle King? She is the mother I never had. She is the sister everybody would want. She is the friend everybody deserves. I do not know a better person. I do not know a better person. It is making me cry because I am thinking about how much I probably have never told her that. Can I have a tissue, please? I need tissue. I never told her I loved her.
Oh, so what now? What do you have to say to her directly?
Now, Oprah, you know, the reason that we joke around and have fun about the lesbian rumors, as you enjoy joking around it and having fun about it, as you demonstrated in your camping episode where you share a tent with Gayle.
It was like a Winnebago.
They also had a little tent.
Oh, they did?
For camera purposes, you know, but then they go to sleep in the Winnebago.
That's where the cameraman slept.
But it's because, you know, we're same gender loving people, and we recognize ourselves in your same gender loving relationship with Gayle King. It may not be sexually manifested, but the intensity of the emotions are real, and they're real to us, and we recognize and then we see ourselves in your public relationship with Gayle King. Because our love is such an important aspect of our lives, when we see it in you, and as a successful entertainer, as a successful news person, we want to see that reflected in ourselves. So when we joke about you being a lesbian and that your relationship with Gayle King is a lesbian, it's not because we're saying that you're a liar. It's we're saying you have not yet recognized what it's taking us a lifetime to recognize in ourselves. Oprah, maybe you might enjoy a little snuggling with Gayle King. Think about that. Put that in your to-do box.
Oh, that was so well-worded. You know what I learned from that, Fausto? That Gayle King's going to steal away best friends. That's the only thing I heard out of that. Yeah, that was very well worded. That was very beautiful
and very touching. It's like, yes. I don't know what else to say about that. I mean, it's just stands
lesbian rumors.
Lesbian rumors. So the other thing, though, too, is like women. You know, their sexuality is often fluid throughout their life. So maybe up until this point, she hasn't identified as a lesbian. But maybe this is like maybe when she goes to tell Gayle just how much she loves her, that maybe the flood gates will open.
But
I don't think she has that in her.
No.
For this amount of time, you know, it's like, you know, when you have certain scars, it's like an onion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to be peeling back any layers because this amount of pain works for her.
Okay.
Mm.
So for Oprah?
Yeah.
And for anybody who's listening to the show who might identify, you know, who says, look, I'm not a person who identifies as same gender loving as gay or lesbian or bi or trans. I just enjoy doing these things. You don't need to declare something to be happy and comfortable in your own skin.
I would personally, you know, I get all sorts of crazy stuff all the time, but the number one thing that I see in other people is not who they're banging. That would be, you know, you don't do it with heterosexual people. Why would you do it with anyone's sexuality?
Well, because, you know, just like B. Scott, when you get that wedding ring, you start to tremble a little bit, and you want to show it to all your girlfriends.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I'm giving away the part of his video. Part of his video, but there's just so many good little moments in that video.
Yeah.
It's really not giving it away. It's just, it's kind of like warming up your seat for you. Celine Dion gave birth to twins.
Yes, that's because she has two vaginas.
So, the French one and the Canadian one.
Joel, can you just say Celine Dion's twins?
Celine Dion's twins. The twins.
And
Celine Dion.
In Nelson Canada, Eddie. They would say Celine Dion, le doublet.
Doublet.
Girl.
But I think she had those a while. She's just now showing them off. She had
she's
them
showing
a while
off
ago.
Her twins, girl.
And
she's
it's like the weirdest thing. Their names is like Nelson and Eddie. And she's like, oh, no, it has nothing to do with the singer Nelson Eddie. And it, you're like, well, why would you name your kids Nelson and Eddie then?
It's like calling yourself Lady, like one you, kid Lady and the other one Gaga.
Or like Michael and Jackson.
Yeah. You think their diapers will have camel toe?
The twins, baby. Hey, Celine, let's take a look at the twins. Mm-hmm.
Now, Devin, you're from Canada, so you obviously knew about Celine Dion long before we Americans.
The rest of the world
discovered.
I will tell you
this, as much fun as people make of her misplaced passion.
Is that, that's what it is, isn't
it's
it?
Misplaced
it's
misplaced passion.
It's misplaced passion. You nailed it, right?
Thank you. She came from a very large family. Mm-hmm. She was one of the, you know, the bread earners for this very large family. But I will tell you this, she has a God-given voice. If you find any video of her as a young child singing, there's just some people that were blessed. There's very few child prodigies. You know, you can be trained to be a lot of things, and some people are very astute or have a proclivity. But she... What?
Proclivity is not a dirty word, Joel. It's not dirty at all.
It has clit in it. Clit-vity.
She really did. She really does have a God-given.
Absolutely.
She really is pitch perfect, and it's so crazy to watch. Like even sometimes I astound myself at the amount of gentle ribbing that I place on her. You know, it's like a modern day Brooke Shields.
Okay.
I just, you know what it is about Celine Dion, and it's kind of like when she, the way she interacts with her fans is in a lot of ways the way you and I, all of us here, interact with fans of the shows and fans of what we do, is that they speak the same language that we do, and so we want to sort of go into that unconscious, nonverbal interaction.
Yeah, but you two, plus Joel and I, we're pretty straight up about it. But I think there's a weird affectation that she has when she's on TV set that she cocks her head to the left and her bottom lip goes out and she slows down and
she moves her body strange and she does
like body strange.
Yeah.
I love that, though. You know, to me, it's like, when you speak the language of crazy, if I went up to Celine Dion, I wouldn't go, hi, Celine Dion, I'm a big fan of your music. I would
you
go...
You would emulate her.
I would go,
oh, yeah. And she would answer,
did you ever hear her cover AC/DC?
No, what did she do?
You Shook Me All Night Long?
Oh, yes, I have. I love that.
Oh, my Lord.
Celine and her misplaced passion. Shook me all night.
She does a little Elvis thing.
Stick across the stage. I was embarrassed for her. That's what I do when I watch Celine. I get embarrassed for her.
That's kind of what it is. You're like, you cringe. You're like, oh, Mom. What is she going to do now?
Mom.
You don't know what you look like. And she has a good voice because she pounds her chest like that. It loosens up her lungs.
I say to Celine Dion, shine on, you crazy diamond.
Which is from that... Is another Canadian who said those words.
Yes, Led Zeppelin?
No.
Who was that? OMDC? Neil Diamond.
No.
Neil Young?
Neil Young. Shine on, you crazy diamond.
Shine on, you crazy diamond. Hey, you guys are good voices. You're youthful in spirit. The Oxygen Network is holding auditions here in Chicago and nationwide for the Glee project. Is this what we've been saying, that Glee is being slowly transformed to replace American Idol in the public relations and marketing niche?
What are you actually really saying? You're going from solo acts to a group mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because people, yeah.
I think, what are you doing? How do you translate that money? How do you translate that sexually? So instead of spilling your own seed, it's going to be daisy chains. Instead of tipping a one, you tip a 10.
I don't think it's appropriate to write lead the wise off sorely.
I don't know what that meant. Well, so it's a reality, for other people that didn't get it, it's a reality TV show. So you can go on there. You have to be over 18, but you have to pass for a teenager, which means you can be like, you know, any one of us could probably audition for it. And then
I could pass for
and
teenager.
Then if you win the competition, then you can get a reoccurring role for a season on Glee. Now, it's not like a full-time job, but
I want to be Kurt's sassy gay best friend who puts him together every time he falls apart. Cuts him, pontificates seats, lifts them up, and sends them on his way, Kurt.
But you know, Broadway's already done that with Sound of Music and a couple of other shows. They've already had that kind of thing.
But this one's going to work because actually...
Because people like Glee.
We think that Glee actually appeals to people that are between ages of 6 and 12.
Mostly,
and
I think.
Mostly. And you know, like adults, because every person I've talked to, they record it on their video playback devices, and they skip past the parts of the show they don't like.
If it has like Lea Michele in it, they skip past it. If it's singing, they skip past it.
Pretty much all they do is go to Jane Lynch and the gay scenes with Kurt.
Tell you something?
Yes.
I did not know that I was supposed to dislike Lea Michele.
Oh, it's okay. You don't have to dislike her. You can like her.
I didn't until, like, it was just like, oh my God, everybody just, oh, hey, you know what? Last week, we said hello to Brittany, Heather Morris.
Oh, she's lovely.
Yeah, we were out at the Instinct party, the Instinct magazine party.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
She was there. She's very tall, very pretty, and really bubbly. She was very amenable with everybody.
Did she talk, like on the show, she talks really low and I can't ever hear her. Does she talk like that in real life?
No, not really.
I'm like, why does she talk so low?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's weird. I was like, pump up her volume.
She's,
yeah.
I think she's fetal alcohol syndrome baby kind of thing on the show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That'll come out in season 3.
My mom was drinking a lot while she was preggers with me.
I'm sure that's what it was.
Thalidomide baby. It's all going to come out.
Hey, speaking of thalidomide babies, I'm going to send you a picture of a Christmas ornament that looks like a thalidomide baby. It's, you're going to see it and you're like, oh my God, it is.
We have those ornaments. They're white. And they look like a fetus.
Well, this one's like a peppermint candy, like body, with like little hands off its side.
Oh my God.
If you just search like horrors of Christmas on Flickr, it might show up.
Can I tell you what I think?
Yeah.
What?
I think that the way that people decorate their Christmas tree is usually a very revealing of how they are. And it's the same way when you look at people who decorate their fridge, if they have art or photos or magnets.
Ooh,
that reveals
like that.
A lot about people. So how do you decorate your Christmas tree? What does it reveal about you? Are you old school ornaments? Do you have brand new tinsel?
I love that. Well, our Christmas tree is 4 feet tall, made out of plastic, and it's all silver with red balls that
like
are a little bit too
bag?
Big for it, if you know what I'm saying.
No, not like a garbage bag. And then we also have a disco mirror Christmas tree. It's just a cone. And then we also have our ficus trees also have Christmas ornaments on it. And that is a mixture of ornaments that listeners have sent to us and some mirrors that I picked up in Peru.
You know, I'm just noticing that one of the ornaments that a listener sent to us has a video camera on it.
They're watching it right now.
But it's paranoid. So what does your Christmas tree look like, Devin?
Probably a palm tree.
Well, it's about 6 centimeters high. It has... Are you there?
I'm listening, yeah.
Oh, it has... it has one of those fetal babies on it, little Christmas babies. And it has... You know when you put flour and water together, either you can make bannock or a hard paste. I made a star and a bell and a mistletoe. And so I made some of those ornaments. But remember, it's really from your elbow to the top of your fingers. You know where I like to place emphasis?
Where?
On the stocking. We have a lot of stockings around.
Tons of motherfucking stockings.
I have a lot of stockings because you know what? I like to fill those bitches up. Whenever I find any little jujube, hobnob, or clip-clop, trap-flap, I put it in there. Hey, guess what? That stapler, it's a gift.
So basically your stockings look like the most people's top drawer at their offices?
No.
It just has like old gum, the half a broken pair of eyeglasses. Business cards are not going to use.
No, but I am. Joel actually had to skip out. He's got to go to Malibu.
Oh.
What should I get him for Christmas time?
Oh.
So, Joel. Bye, Joel.
Bye, Joel.
You know what? He actually dropped the phone and it's off right now. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Wish him a Merry Christmas for us.
I wanted to quickly talk about WikiLeaks with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
So have you been following all the WikiLeaks that all the basically we actually on the show said that WikiLeaks and making the government sound like a, you know, like a hot catty high school girl, and it's sounding a lot like a celebrity gossip site. And then Saturday Night Live did their comparison of WikiLeaks to TMZ. And then we once again talked about it. But this is the most disturbing thing I've heard so far. Military contractors of DynaCorp have repeatedly gotten into trouble. But so far, they haven't taken any action for hiring young male dancing boy prostitutes to perform for them for having sex acts, and they're called Basha boys, 8 to 15 years old, putting on makeup, little bells to their feet, and slip into scanty women's clothing, and then to the whine of harmonium and wailing vocals, they dance seductively to smoky roomfuls of leering older men. After the show is over, their services are auctioned off to the highest bidder, who will sometimes purchase a boy outright for sexual activities for the night. And by activities, they mean anal sex. The State Department has called Basha Bazi a widespread, culturally accepted form of male rape. And it's being funded by your tax dollars.
Merry Christmas, Devin.
Hey, let's bring the energy right down.
I just kind of like that up.
Well, I just think it's really shocking and surprising.
Because it's in the WikiLeaks.
Are you honestly shocked and surprised? You know that this is not even the tip of the iceberg, but look at someone's motivation for actually putting that information out there.
Well, the thing, though, too, is it's a deplorable situation that's been going on in Afghanistan for a long time. Yeah. And I think that part of the reason is that the way they treat women over there is just, it's just absolutely horrific. Because, you know, I mean, if a woman had any rights, do you think she'd actually allow her son to do, have her son do anything like that? It just makes no sense to me.
Well,
no, but
fathers.
You know what? Sometimes in a lot of... because we do have some friends from Africa. One is a major AIDS doctor there, and he says it's such just a different mentality that, you know, the women think it's better to have more and more kids so they can work the fields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how my parents were.
Eight children?
That's how Catholics are, you know. Yeah. Catholics are very much like that. It's like, you know, kids are in places like that, you know, that's your social security. That's who's going to take care of you when you're old.
Yeah, or maybe one could get on Slumdog Millionaire, you know?
The more kids you have, the more chances they have of winning game shows.
See, look, at it just increases your odds, and you can't play unless you enter.
Devin, have you ever been on a game show?
Well, I can tell you what Joel and I do. Mm-hmm. In Los Angeles, they have to actually try game shows out. And so we get hired to do actual run-throughs.
Ooh.
So either to act as a co-host, contestant, a host, to go through the actual mechanics of running the actual game show. So more times than not, I've actually been, I'm usually the co-host or sometimes a contestant because it's, because I don't usually get what anybody even asks me in real life. They hosts really need to know how to deal with all sorts of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I come in as an oddball.
You're a professional oddball.
I'm a professional, right. So to see how some host would handle something that they could not have prepared for.
Like, what's some of the crazy stuff you've done on a host? Like,
I had to put something in order, and I was speaking so fast and getting it wrong over and over and over, and it really was CDAF or something like that, but I said probably about 15 permeations without getting the correct one that he didn't know what to do.
So you flubbergasted him.
Yeah.
Now, did that show ever make it onto the air?
Oh, no.
So you're like, this guy has no future.
Although, from what I understand, that segment made it onto TV bloopers somehow, which it should never have gone. Those were never for broadcast. But sometimes things, you know, they don't work. And for one of them, Joel, he went through the whole, he was acting as a contestant. Joel is obviously brilliantly smart. He's textbook smart. He's very good speller. His calligraphy is superior.
Mm.
But they had him on a show, and afterwards they gave him money. And then they took him into a... Did we ever tell you this?
No.
They took him into a room to wait to fill out the final documents. And a woman came in, and she had a collar on, and she said that she was from a local church, and if Joel would consider donating some of a portion of the money that he had made that day from being on the game show, and which Joel didn't know, that was the actual game show, to see what people would do, because she was a nun, and Joel had said no. He wasn't going to give her any money.
Awesome. Didn't he kind of know that something would be up, though? Like, a nun just shows up and is, like, asking you for money at a game show?
There's oddball things, because everybody was going in, and, you know, there's a lot. It's just like when I became a citizen, the second that I was there, people were all over you. Hey, you got to sign up for this, you're going to be, you know. So with that, it wasn't so odd, and because it was a full day of shooting, doing all the questions, it's kind of like on course, but it was just so out of left field, and it was so innocuous.
So he lost the game? Is that what it was?
Well, that was actually just a ruse to see if this game show would actually work.
Oh, okay.
But too many people said no.
Well, why would you? You know, it's like...
I don't know you.
I don't know you. I don't know your church. And you know, frankly, like, your Catholic church is, you know...
Raping children, just like...
Spreading all sorts
WikiLeaks.
Of crazy things. Yeah, it's like, I don't want no wiki leaking all over my face.
You do like that word.
It's hilarious.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
A very funny word. Can I just quickly ask you, too?
Yes.
And, you know, your listeners as well. If there's... anything that Joel and I can do to help you out in any way, like give a kind word or something positive? Please.
Kind words and positivity always are welcome.
Yeah.
And put the loot in the boot, Santa.
Please let us know, because not just your show, but the two of you personally and your listeners have been so positive with the things that Joel and I do, like really supporting our dreams and the things that we're honestly so passionate about.
Like your dream of sharing a music video about meat with a Tupac Shakur impersonator.
Done and done.
Who was this guy?
Okay. His name is Josh. So if you go onto the front of our website, or just go onto YouTube and put in pulled pork Devin Green, D-E-V-E-N. I just thought it would be funny to have one of the greatest dead rappers come back to life and be our booty dancer. So not only is he in real life, he can't walk down the street. He just was born looking exactly like Tupac.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be actually doing the documentary of his life, and he's in very close contact with the Tupac's actual living family.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you a little secret. All those tattoos, Josh, the performer, he puts those all on himself. He's not tattooed in any way. He displays out all these photographs of all of Tupac's actual tattoos, and because Josh is also an artist, he hand does each and every single one on him.
Wow.
I know, isn't that amazing?
Is this like a full-time job for him?
Oh,
does he go to parties and stuff?
Yeah, he does like some pretty big, really, really cool things, but you know what I really appreciated about him? He's unbelievably professional. He's not gang life, he's not thug life. He really is a gentleman, and he's really clear. I don't know if you know of any other impersonators. Oh, you guys do know impersonators, but some people think like they're Marilyn Monroe in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think most people who are celebrity impersonators really feel like they're the celebrity in real life.
Yeah,
Chicago Cher, I'm talking about you.
Yeah, he's not like that at all whatsoever. He's very clear on who he is as a person, and you know, he has a lot of balance. It was just nice to meet someone like that. I wouldn't have cared less. You know, whatever choices that he makes as a performer, totally fine for him. but he was just such a ringer, and he was very sweet and professional, so we did want to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
why wouldn't you want to have him in every video?
He's hot. I gotta say, he's
next
really hot.
Your next vagine, you know, video.
Listen, yeah. He's hot.
Mm-hmm.
If you, I gotta tell you, the dude's hot. And then in comparison to my white skin and Joel's hotness, it's like a goddamn cavalcade of eye banging.
You guys made a wonderful menage a trois together, I have to say.
Yeah, pulled that pork any day.
So now that Joel's off the phone, what are you getting him for Christmas?
Well, I was thinking of getting him
Well, he's going to be listening to this.
Well, he might not get all the way to the end.
Oh, he actually
does.
You know what? Maybe I'll
don't say it.
Delay until the 24th.
Oh. Tell us after we're done taping.
Shoes that you design yourself.
Oh, hot.
Those are fun. You know, if he's is he a big fan of Twitter, Joel Bryant,
yes.
Devin Green, or
yes.
Facebook?
Yes.
You can buy him Adidas concept sneakers designed to look like the websites.
Like Twitters and Facebook.
And you can actually make a Feast of Fun Adidas sneaker.
You can?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
You just upload the graphics and the colors of our site, and you can make your own Adidas sneakers.
I'm going to do that right now.
I'm a 10 and a half.
You are not a 10 and a half.
You're a 10. A 10 and a half?
He is not.
I'm a 10.
He is a 10 narrow.
On the internet, I'm 10 and a half.
Can I tell you who else is a 10?
Joel.
Devin.
Devin's
you
a
are.
10. And men's or women's?
You know why? And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to let all the viewers, I'm going to let all the feasties in on this. My second toe is a whole joint longer than my first.
I thought you were going to say something else, but...
It's crazy. It's insanely long. I don't wear open-toed shoes. It hooks around. It has a mind of its own. When I walk, it pulls the rest of the foot along. It drags the heel.
Devin, cut it off.
Are you saying that you and I can actually share the same foot wardrobe?
But she's women's 10, which is really like an 8 for men.
Oh.
Right?
Is
that
it?
How it works?
I think when I was visiting you in your hotel room in Green Bay, I tried on some of your shoes when you weren't looking.
You're more than welcome to. You can get right into my briefs, my bloomers, my attaché case, whatever you want.
I have to say, your Victoria's Secret collection of bras were very flattering to my body.
Yes, if you want, they look like tube top halter tops. They could be a skirt, they could be a belt. They have no shape. They just cover.
Oven mitts.
Who's the viral? Who's the pretty viral video superstar now? I am.
Look into the mirror. Look.
Look into the mirror.
Listen,
and you will be hypnotized into being a beautiful woman.
Foster, you've already had one guest ditch the show. Let's end this before Devin has to ditch.
We already lost one of the guests. We want to remind the listeners that today's show would not be possible without Devin Green Cupcakes.
Steamworks. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. We'll do the Steamworks ad right now. Today's show is brought to you in part by Steamworks Gym Sauna and Baths. Release the pressure.
Saca la presión.
Steamworks. Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Seattle, Toronto, and Vancouver. British Columbia.
That's Canada for you
Canada.
People.
Oh, that's right. You know, every time I go to Steamworks, I get laid.
I bet you do. When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you. Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fun on the promo code field to get that special discount. And remember, play hard and play smart. I also want to thank our friend of the show, Boy Butter Personal Lubricant. Use code Feast of Fun at shoplube.com at checkout for 10% off. Try squeezing some boy butter into your tight agenda today.
Boy butter and... shoplube.com. It'll lube you up. You probably can make cupcakes with that stuff.
No, you can't cook with it.
You can't cook with it?
No.
What's it good for then?
Well, it's for putting into your tight agenda.
It's for cooking in the bedroom. Hey!
Oh.
But you can get all sorts of lubes at the shoplube.com.
Shoplube.com. Get your lubes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get, use a 10% off.
It's 10% off, so that's what you get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Devin, I want to thank you, baby.
Yes, Devin Green.
You're the best.
Hugs and kisses.
And hugs and kisses to Joel. I'm sorry he had to run off.
I'm sorry.
I'm back again. Just
oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That was a fast audition.
Wow. Did you get the role? Malibu already?
No, I didn't go to Malibu yet. I just had to get on my Naked Santa outfit.
Okay.
Meaning he's not wearing clothes
now. Listen, I think all of you, your viewers, I wish you have a happy holly, jolly holiday.
Happy
you guys
holidays.
Have been really super great, and we're eternally grateful, and I'm going to go listen. I have really encouraged all of our friends to go to Podcast Awards and vote for you every single day in both categories, GLBT and People's Choice.
Yes. Yes, you guys are the best.
Yes, happy holidays.
Happy holidays, you guys.
Or, sorry, happy Christmas.
Yes. Happy Christmas. And happy Glitter Day.
Happy Glitter Day to all of you, and to all of you, shine, you beautiful hot bitches.
We love you guys.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Devin Green lives in California.
With her husband, Joel Bryant.
And you can visit their website, devingreen.com or joelbryant.com. It's D-E-V-E-N, green as in color, as in the fourth color in the candle array of Glitter Day.
Or you can stop by their house at 2333 Santa Monica Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, and just pop by, say hi.
Ring the doorbell.
The door's usually just open. So
just walk right in.
Just kidding.
That's not their home address.
No. I wouldn't. No. I don't even know where 2323 is. Santa Monica. I bet that's right in the heart of West Hollywood is my guess.
WeHo, baby. You might be walking. We're sending listeners to walk into people's homes.
What are we going to leave people with?
We're going to leave them here with a little bit of Darlene Love. Christmas is a time to say I love you from our album. It's Christmas, of course. Available on our website, feastoffun.com. One of the best soulful holiday Christmas albums ever.
Absolutely. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. I want to remind people, too, we are recording. We're making a Christmas video, so please follow us on YouTube, youtube.com/feastoffun. You can also find us on Facebook. Just search Feast of Fun, and there we are.
If you follow us on YouTube, you'll be the first people to find out when the video goes up. It features some of our wacky friends and us in full drag. A Christmas spectacular. If you're on Twitter, follow us on Twitter. If you're on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Remember, share and save today's show with someone you love and give them the endless gift of podcasts. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone.
Christmas is the time to say I love you. Share the joy of laughter and good cheer.
The window, snow is falling, but here beside the fire.